Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the mercy that you shower us with. Lord, we thank you that in our brokenness, that as we come to you for forgiveness, you not only forgive us, but you forgive our sin. Lord, we pray that we will be able to show mercy to others, to show them that we love them, despite our own behaviors and despite theirs. Be with us as we hear your message. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak are yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Shane Stanford from Mississippi said that he wishes that this beatitude read, "Blessed are the courteous, for they shall receive innumerable kudos from God." Now, I'm not really sure of his thinking behind that. Maybe you understand it, but I don't. How many of you, when you think of the word mercy, think of courtesy? What do you think of when you hear the word mercy? You can respond. I think of the word compassion. I think of the word grace. So I decided to look up the word mercy, and according to Webster, mercy means, one, compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender. Lenient or compassionate treatment. Two, a blessing that is an act of divine favor or compassion. Three, compassionate treatment of those in distress. When you think of someone who has that deep compassion for others, is there anyone who comes to your mind other than Jesus? I think of Mother Teresa. The reason being, mercy is not giving people what they deserve or what we think they deserve, but it's having compassion on someone or on other people for what they need. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful," he isn't talking about us just having compassion on someone's situation. He isn't asking us to just sympathize with someone, and whatever their circumstance is, that he wants us to truly try and experience it. I think that is a very difficult thing to do if we haven't experienced that ourselves. For example, I cannot understand what it means to lose a child because I have not experienced that. I may have compassion and I may have love for that person who has gone through that or is going through that, but I can't wholly understand it. We can't understand what we ourselves have not experienced, can we? We can try to. But one thing that we need to remember is that we all respond to the same situation differently. Because God created us all as individuals, so He created us differently. Also, if we have never experienced it, how can we respond knowing what the other person is feeling? We may show them compassion and we may show them love. It may be in our hearts and our minds to try and experience what we have not. But we don't know how we would respond. We may say, well, if that were me, this is how I would respond. But until we have those circumstances in our own lives, we do not know how we would respond. So it's very important for us not to judge or criticize another for how they respond in any circumstance. Instead, what we must do is we must show them the love of Jesus Christ. We must show them the compassion of the one that can relate to them, the one that can help them cope with whatever circumstance Satan throws their way. Life is hard, but love through mercy shows the importance of the free gift of salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ. How many of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13? The chapter known as the love chapter, or the giving gift chapter. This chapter describes mercy for us. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States or the president of a corporation or the president of a local organization. It doesn't matter if you give 2% of your income or 10% of your income or 60% of your income. God's word tells us if we don't have love, if we don't have compassion for others, if we don't have mercy, we are nothing. Put your name in that chapter and see if it describes you. I'd like you to repeat after me using your own name. Tina is patient. Tina is kind. Tina is not envious. Tina is not boastful. Tina is not arrogant. Tina is not rude. Tina does not insist in having her own way. Tina is not irritable or resentful. Tina does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Tina rejoices in the truth. Tina bears all things. Tina believes all things. Tina hopes all things. Tina endures all things. Tina's love never ends. Can we honestly say that we are all of those things all of the time? Probably not. See, the one who loves us is. The one who loves us perfectly. And he wants us to love others. He wants us to show mercy as he shows mercy to each of us. He wants us to have that desire, that deep desire in our souls to know him as our Lord and Savior and to walk in his ways. He also wants us to rejoice when others receive his blessing. Maybe even a blessing that we had hoped to receive. How many of you have said, it is more blessed to give than to receive? How many of us have truly lived that out? See, the greater our love is for Jesus Christ, the greater our love is for our neighbor, and the greater we will rejoice when others receive blessings, even the blessings that we had hoped to receive. When we experience the love and the mercy and the grace of our Lord and Savior, we want others to experience it as well. And if we have that desire, it cannot be hidden. It will always be present with us. It will be shown in our words and it will be shown in our actions. However, what we also need to be aware of is Satan is in this world, and Satan is very real. So even when we are called to love, we need to be open to what is evil and what is of Satan. Love does not, or it should not, blind us. I was a part of a conversation not very long ago with a group of pastors where a situation of evil reared its ugly head in a big way. As these other pastors and I were having this conversation about it, one pastor said, "How will they know that we love them if we point out their sin?" I don't necessarily think that we need to be pointing out or criticizing someone's sin. Because you know what? While we're pointing at them, three fingers are pointing back at us. Because none of us are without sin. We just sin differently than the person we are judging. So what we need to do is we need to be pointing them to the truth of God's word. Secondly, it's important for us to work on ourselves and know who we are in Christ Jesus so that we can share the truth of God's word with them, but also that we can love them, genuinely love them. How many of you have heard the saying, love the sinner, hate the sin? We don't point out or criticize other people's sins because we want to puff ourselves up by putting other people down. We don't want to judge others because ultimately we will stand before the judge. We will all stand to be judged one day. Now, I know this isn't an easy task. It's not easy to not look at someone and to make an assessment in our own minds, is it? But what we need to do is we need to begin to build relationships with other people. We need to begin to understand their story, because each one of us has a story. And we usually don't know other people's stories. Scripture tells us that we are to live in the world and yet not be of the world. One time I was teaching a Sunday school class in a church that was not my home church, and we were having a conversation about going into a bar. One of the gentlemen in the class was very adamant that no Christian should ever step foot inside a bar. The question was posed by someone else, well, what about an establishment that serves food as well as alcohol? This gentleman very adamantly said, no one who is a Christian should eat there. I posed the question, how are people to know Jesus if we don't go and be with them? He asked me if I'd belly up to a bar. I said if I felt that was where God was calling me to, yes, I would. With the explanation that I do not drink and alcohol is not a temptation for me. So if I felt that God was calling me there, yes, I would go. However, I also believe that if that is a strong temptation for someone else, it might not be God that is calling them there, but instead it is Satan trying to tempt them. So my friends, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful of where it is that God is calling us and where it is that Satan rears his ugly head to try and trick us. But I can tell you this, God will never, and I repeat, never lead us into sin. His love and his mercy will only lead us out of sin. And when we struggle to remember that, we need to remember the Bible verse, through Christ, we can do all things. So nothing can destroy or diminish God's love for us. And his love is to be lived out through his followers. So when we live authentic lives, we will look at the world very differently, because we will begin to look at the world through the eyes of Jesus. Authentic mercy is living an act of compassion and response to others. It provides not only love and kindness, but it makes us want to be accountable, and we should be accountable to others. We should hold one another accountable so that we can be restored and renewed, not condemned and criticized. John 3:17, which is one of my favorite Bible verses, and I'm sure you will come to know that, says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. So if God chose not to condemn the world through Jesus, what right do we have to condemn one another? Our scripture this morning tells us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God's love and mercy is beyond our comprehension. His love and mercy go beyond the love and mercy that we can show one another. And yet he calls us to be merciful. What do people outside of the church think when we bear the name of Jesus Christ and yet we show no mercy? More importantly, what does God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit think? The Lord God will fill our hearts with love for every soul if we open our hearts to his love and his mercy. Nowhere can we show the love of God more than when we have mercy on one another. And we have plenty of opportunities as we look out into our communities and see so many people who are lost to this world. So I pray that we, the family of the Wesley United Methodist Church, take every opportunity we can to show mercy to others, because we are truly God's children. Amen.